So I've got that in the middle. So then we've got relationship product. Oh, this is
the highlight. Oh. The question here then is, what exactly do I mean by product?
That's what we're asking.
Well, just do this and it'll tell you. These now become these.
The service becomes your product.
Which is what we were saying. Yeah. When you package it together, so it's so consistent, so slick, so crisply articulated that I get it in seconds, that's when it becomes a product. I get it. Don't need to spend 25 minutes explaining it to me. I just get it. When you can do that as a leader, and now give me some example of tools. Give me some. Tell me. A wrap is a tool. Okay. Give me another example of a tool. Yeah. That's why Presswood in so much trouble with Truth, having to call everybody back for courses to explain how to use Truth, because they're selling it as a service and it's a tool. It's not a service. And they're trying. Clients were walking out with Truth, trying to charge a fee, and you can charge a fee for. I'll charge you a fee for this forecast. Well, that's low perceived value. It's just a piece of software. I get software on my PC all the time. It's not worth nothing. Yeah.
What so, I've noticed, JCS, but what I've noticed is I just started using. But the first one was to an accountant, and I just printed it on paper. And it was worthless. Put it up on started on a TV screen. Sat in front of it, line after line of this data. He loved that. And for other clients, I've simplified it. Then you flick to the graph back and forth, and I say, he picks up a mistake, you change it immediately, you change the analysis. It's that interaction which is the value.
Yes.
Not the tool.
Yes.
Now I put it up on the screen.
Yeah.
People don't understand what's going on.
Because your challenge is, you younger guys, you're in a tool-based environment. You're in a sophisticated tool-based generation. This is just, everybody's got sophisticated tools online, you know, it's, so you have to put it in this place. And so in their head, it's a commodity, and therefore it has low perceived value. It's what you do with it in the service you deliver, that's where the value starts coming.
So how do you present to that starting point?
How do you do that?
I started to say it's been very well perceived.
Yes.
Starting to relate to this interview. Yeah. But I suppose until you've experienced it yourself and had the feedback, you don't get the enthusiasm that flashes through.
Absolutely.
Instantly.
And that's why we created a workshop called the Transformational First Meeting, because with just the tool, it can be too transactional, a relationship or the first meeting. But with the right structure of that meeting, the whole meeting becomes transformational with the tools, which are low value perception in the client's head, because it's just a product. If you change, Hilary, if you change the word product or tool to commodity and recognise what today's society regards as commodities, you realise the low perceived value. So my laptop is just a commodity now. It used to be really exciting. But now it's like 600 quid. It's a commodity. When you start commoditising things, it becomes dangerous for you, because then the price value drops in the head. Does that make sense? The next question is, this relationship is a real problem. Currently, the relationship tends to be with what? With whom? With the individual. Where would the highest value be for the business? With the business. So your question, as the leader of the business, how do I drive the relationship into the business, not into me?
Is that possible with one man back?
Yeah. In other words, could I walk out for 6 months with glandular fever tomorrow and bring somebody to replace me, and they still feel the same about the business? If they don't, then it's essentially personality based and you're very vulnerable. So you have to find a way to create something, a structure, so that the clients love you, but actually it's what the business does to them that really matters. And that's the difference, David, between being a financial planner and being an entrepreneur.
But is it possible to not have the replacement there? It's possible just to...
That makes it really hard. Yes, that makes it really hard. When
it's
you're
like a locum, where you couldn't really expect a locum.
Yeah, locum. But when the problem with being a micro business is this personality problem. And so my challenge is, I've been doing this for 4 years, and they're sick of me. You know, I mean, you know, you can only love somebody so much. Particularly if he's male and you're male, and you know, it's just, you can only love him so much. So that's why I've realised this has got to stop being about me. And I'm very, it's mine, and they're saying, it's not, it's ours, it's mine, I started this thing, yeah, but it's not about me, it's about them, and we're about them too, so get out of the way. So his job, he said to me, I said, well, where are we going with this? He said, they probably just want to get rid of you, actually. What? Flipping business. He said, no, what I mean by that is we want to wheel you out when we want to wheel you out. Like they would do with Dan Sullivan 25 years later, they just wheel him out. But you want to speak to Dan Sullivan, get private coaching, you have to be earning $1 million a year salary, not turnover, salary. Does that make sense? So that's his job. Get me out of the way. Wheel me out when I want to, when he wants me to, and Andrew wants me to. So that's the challenge with a one-man business. How do I do that? How do I do that? And the answer typically ends up being either outsourced or internally. There needs to be somebody else. Because otherwise, the challenge I found as financial planner, David, was I then become a danger to the client. Because if it is just me and I really do get sick, and human beings tend to get sick every now and again, is ethically, where does that leave me with the client relationship that I promised and I can't deliver? And I began to feel privately that was a bit unfair on him or her. And that's why I made the changes I did. It's a difficult decision. It's a hard one.
David, I want to ask a very simple question.
Sorry.
I'm not sure what TPR is.
TPR, turn the page.
Right, on this page we can understand.
That's where we're heading, okay?
Oh, right, so, okay. Right.
The concept is the TPR mix.
Right, I understand.
That's where you are today, that's where we're heading tomorrow.
We're not looking at this yet, we're going to just turn the
page. Look at both, because I need you to compare with each other, you know, why product now it's called tools and why service is now called products and why relationship is to, you know, what's the difference here? What's going on? Why have I changed product to tools and why have I changed service to product? Why? Why have I done that? What am I trying to communicate?
Are we communicating that the service needs to be systematized? Therefore, it is actually a product. The service is a product. It's in a book. It's not airy-fairy. It's in a book. And we know what we're going to get.
Yes.
In order to service, it might be airy-fairy.
And they, and more, they know what they're going to get. In other words, it's so clearly and simply and consistently communicated and articulated, clarity, simplicity, consistency, that they get it in seconds without you sitting and waffling on for an hour about how amazing your service is. They just get it. And the rest is all about them. So I chatted to one of your colleagues in the team this week, in fact, and talked about the first meeting, and he's passionate about it. Passionate about this first meeting. We show them this and we show them that, we tell them that. And I began to get really worried. I said, well, how long does this last? 45 minutes. Well, I thought this was about them. Why are we spending 4 or 5 minutes talking about you and your service? Then I talked to him about discovery meeting that you and I have had, you and I have had. Tell me who we talked about and what we talked about in the discovery meeting. I never once mentioned the advisor gym, the programs, the projects, so never once even discussed it because nobody asked me. I spent 7 hours talking about you. 7 hours, or however long we spent together. And therefore, the only way I could do that, Simon, was by crisply, succinctly, clearly articulating what we do through those 25 questions that I sent to you. This is what we're really all about. And the programs and projects, you know, we'll talk about later. But we're all about shaping you, shaping your future. And frankly, that's all that mattered. So it's taking a complex service. Remember that story I told you about Chappie, southeast of England, very high profile financial planner called me in because he was in a mess. Business was just really struggling. And I asked him the one deadly question: explain your fee structure. 20 minutes later, he was still discussing the fee structure. And I looked at him and I said, Fred, not his name, I've been 20 years financial planning. I've been fee structuring since 1989. I haven't a clue what you're talking about. Not a clue. Simplicity, clarity, consistency. And that then becomes almost like a product. Yeah, almost. In their eyes. Okay, get that. Crisp, clear, consistent, simple. Simple. And then, and that has a higher value than tools. Tell me about some tools. What tools do good financial planners use at the moment?
What specific tools?
Yeah, give me some examples of tools.
Mr. Profile questionnaires.
Yep.
What, like truth or
yep. Cash flow forecasting is just a tool. That's why Paul Effish had to call everybody back for more courses, because they're all running around trying to sell truth as a service and not realising it's just a tool, guys. Yeah. The service is the other stuff you build on top of truth. And so you had to call them all back for courses, training courses, because they weren't using it, ever. They just buy it and got fed up with it. So the tools are your wraps, your software platforms, your true potential, just a tool. The service, the product is what you develop on top of that. Now, there's this relationship here and this relationship here, and I regard them as being different. Why would they be different? Who's the relationship with here?
The relationship there is with an individual.
Yes. And here? Where are we driving with this?
Is it a relationship with the business?
With the business. Could I take you out, Simon, with glandular fever for 6 months, and your clients would never even think of going elsewhere and still get business done for them and still have their... because they love the business that you've created and what it emanates.
With one or with, day, yes.
With or without
you. It's not fully standardised yet.
Yeah. But
one
so,
day.
One day, yes.
If you can find somebody else to run it.
And there lies the difference in your first question between a financial planner, where this is happening,
yes,
and an entrepreneur who understands this.
Yeah.
And that's where the highest value is. The reason why some IFAs on financial plans I'm meeting can charge £10,000 to £15,000 for the advice before implementation, £10,000 to £15,000, is because they get this.
Yeah. Mm.
They get that. All right, let's stop there. Had some great conversations on these two tables. Hillary, how close are we getting to answering your question? We're getting closer. All right. Turn to page 27 first and tell me, if you would, these two tables know, the difference between 27 and 28. What's being communicated here? 27 and 28. What's the difference? They're all, you know, clearly they're in the same place. I've simply renamed them. Why have I renamed them? What am I trying to say? What am I trying to say with these two graphics? This is really important you get this, because otherwise you devalue your business and your service. So, do you want some more water? Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. Have a bash. This table and then this table. What's the difference between two? What am I trying to say here? Why has product changed to tools, service changed to product, and relationship still stays relationship? What's going on? Let's talk about tools first of all. Name me some classic tools today of a good financial planning business.
Cash flow forecasting.
Yeah. Cash flow forecasting software, yeah?
Yeah.
Examples? Brand names?
Truth.
Voyant. Yep. Okay. And that's why Paul Etheridge had to call people back to retrain them after he'd sold them in 2000, whatever it was, 8, Truth by the package, and call them back in 2010 for new training courses, because they thought Truth was a service. and it's just a tool. He then had to teach them how to use the tool layered with a service. Yeah, they just misunderstood. So why is service, page 27, now changed to product? What am I trying to communicate there?
Your service is a product.
Yes, your sophisticated service is the product that you're selling. Okay, now, by that I mean your ability as the communicator, the leader, communicator, the storyteller, to be able to tell your story simply, clearly, and consistently, and succinctly, without big long pages of waffly stuff and hours of meetings, okay, will help the client or prospective client understand you as almost as if it was a shrink wrap product, although they know behind it is enormous sophistication. Okay, that's what I mean by product. Just get it crisp, guys, clear. I was telling a story about a very high profile financial planner I met in, I won't say where, in the southeast of England, about 2.5 years ago. And he joined the program, and in the end we had to go our separate ways. He just didn't get it. Very intelligent guy. And I sat with him for a whole day, 7.5 hours, and I asked him the question that I wish I'd never asked him. Would you please explain, Fred, not his name, your fee structure? 20 minutes later, he was still describing his fee structure. And I sat there with my mouth open. I thought, I've been a financial planner for 20 years. I started fees before this guy even started in financial planning. Okay, and I don't understand a word he's talking about. And he's asked me to meet with him for a day to understand why does my business not attract the consistent quality of clients that I wish. Because your communication of your service is so complex, I just don't get it. So that's what I mean by product. I don't mean to commoditize it or make it cheap. That's what I mean. It's crisp and clear, it's packaged, it's well communicated, it's articulated succinctly. That's your product, however sophisticated. So what's the difference on page 27 between relationship and page 28? These two tables, we've already discussed it. Page 28, relationship. What's the difference there? What's the big difference? They look the same word. Why are they different now in this context?
Because relationship can now be built on your service.
Okay, carry on.
So I guess your service enhances the relationship that you've got with your client.
Okay. On page 27, who's the relationship normally with? In most IFA businesses.
The service could be the service of the insurance companies or the product providers.
Okay, just stick to relationship for a moment. That's the highest value. That's where you're going to score the most value and the highest fees. In most financial planning businesses, who's the relationship with as far as the client's concerned?
The
IFA.
Yeah. On page 28, what are we trying to say needs to change?
The relationship needs to be the company or the business.
Yeah. That's where the strength and value is. Where the relationship shifts from the personality-led IFA to the values, dream, vision-driven business within which it's a brilliantly communicated, crisp, clear, consistent product, however sophisticated it may be. That's where high fees are attracted. I'm talking fees of £10,000 to £15,000 for the advice alone before implementation. Because we do have clients doing that. And where you can back out after, you know, be very ill for 6 months or whatever, and still the business delivers that ethos, value, its dream, its vision, the way the product works without you, it just continues to be delivered. As David said, really hard work if you're a one-man band with one paraplanner. Really hard work. So the question is, in the future, and this is the way the future is already, okay, today, there are going to be fewer and fewer one-man bands because the merger rate is actually accelerated phenomenally in the last year, particularly since the recession. The merger rate has accelerated. More and more people merging and realizing if I want to create a business where the relationship with the client is with the business, then I'm putting myself at risk if the relationship is just with me. From the client point of view, The ethics of that is I've made a set of promises to help change the client's lives. How can I do that if I'm not there? And they've simply asked the question, I've made a promise, how do I deliver on that promise if I'm sick for 6 months with glandular fever? It's an interesting question that's forced many to say, no, the business needs to develop this relationship so that the client feels, whoever I talk to, it all feels the same. Does that make sense? That's where we're heading with this. Does that begin to answer the question, Hilary? That's where the value is, in the relationship. I won't pay you tuppence halfpenny for your laptop software, but I'll pay you 10,000 quid for a relationship that changes my life. And they do. They really do. Peter Lisney, Martin's counterpart in the north, who many of you have met, sat with one of our clients about 3 weeks ago and asked this question. They're paying him and us by the day, paying Advisor Jim by the day, where he's working on a project consultancy basis. And he introduced a theme to this advisor, which immediately increased the revenue by £28,000 in one fell swoop, without anything else being done. Changed the fee structure. And then talked about other things that he was thinking of doing, and Martin and I need to talk about this with Peter. But here's the question he asked. Look, we've got all this work to do that you want done. It looks like we could create a value here of maybe in excess of £50,000 over the next couple of years, per annum, £50,000 per annum extra, just by going through these changes of marketing and fee structures and what have you, communicating the service. I'm going to be working with you for X days. At the end of that time, if we create that kind of revenue, an additional £28,000 here and then maybe an extra £50,000 a year, what would that be worth to you? And they said, I don't know, £10,000, £15,000, maybe £20,000. Cool. Okay, so we'll meet in June, and I'll ask you the question again, and then we'll just agree a cheque. £10,000, £15,000, or £20,000. On a contingency basis. If you think it's worth nothing, then you pay me nothing. Or you pay my day rate, but I get paid. But if you think it's worth that much money, then that's... I thought, blimey, that's an interesting question. And you know what? They'll pay that. Because of the value to the business. The value to the business of the relationship. So forget about time. And we'll talk about this in our next workshop. Forget about time. You've got to cost you time anyway. That's just discipline. That's just business discipline. But, okay, can I ask you to write down one phrase? I'm not a service-based business, or we're not a service-based business. We're a value-based business. Not values, value-based business. Your role as the leader is to find out what value am I delivering and how do I quantify that? How do I monetize it? We're not a service-based business. All of the competitors are delivering some sort of service. We're a value-based business. How do I deliver that value in the client's life? That's where clients will pay you even lower earning and middle earning people, Simon, will pay for value. When I lost my business, Simon, and was £250,000 down, my brother phoned me from Florida and said, bro, I'm getting married. I said, that's amazing. Never thought you'd ever get married. You're just a ladies' man. He said, and I want you here as my best man. I said, look, bro, I can't even afford the train fare to London. I've had to borrow that for my interviews. Certainly can't get to Florida. Certainly not with a family. He said, you're my brother. I don't intend to do this twice. I want you at my side at my wedding. Now let's find a way of getting you over here. And so we begged, borrowed and raised £3,000, which was a lot of money in those days. Take the family over there. Had a brilliant time. We found the money for what we valued, Simon. So my question to all of you is, if they won't pay you the fee, then maybe they don't value what you're delivering. People will pay for what they value. People will pay in a pub on a Friday night what you're telling me they won't pay you on a fee. People will pay. What they say in the Field of Dreams, people will come. People will definitely come and pay you lots of money. Okay. Page 29 and 30, to embrace, and I think we'll begin to wrap up. This is a team exercise. Pretend you're an IFA team. You're a business, a single business.
It's a service, it's a product.
So it's a tool to get.
No, I don't know.
It's a service.
No, I think it's an end in itself.
We'll make this the last big exercise of the afternoon, then we'll wind up.
I want a hole, not a... That's why I'm buying a drill.
The service, the product that you're selling is available.
Definition of service in the business. Could it be something along the line of lifetime cash flow forecasting, therefore the tool is whatever we need to do? Or is the service...
Well, the software is a tool. I wonder what else you're going to give that's not a tool.
So ignore the software tool.
I would call the concepts of coaching in the way that you're beginning to talk about as part of a service. I would call maybe a trustee service as part of a service. It starts off as a tool, but it can become quite a sophisticated service. I guess I call estate planning a service within which is a whole bunch of tools. So think that level. I think I'd call post-retirement planning as a service, which may not be about pensions, maybe about a whole host of other things. Yeah. So Robin Clark, who's here before, had a lot of marketing done on him. He's all about the retirement saga age group in Worthing, okay, and what kind of services do they really want? So he's gathering alliances around him where he can't deliver all the services, that's not his job, who talk about the emotional problems of retiring, yeah,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah, his market specifically 5 years before and then post his service.
Yeah, I think both of those, So what service, it doesn't matter that you can't deliver it, that's not the issue here. Services are, what are the services that they want, my target market? Assume you've got a target market. Okay. What services could we deliver or could we orchestrate? Does that make sense? So for example, Nicholas is multi-generational family planning as far as the money is concerned. Okay? I'm not sure he's into the sexual financial, but multi-generational financial planning. That's quite a complex service. Estate planning, legal. Yeah, yes, that's right. But he just understands his marketplace. It's very clear, and therefore he knows how to get to it easily. And then he has alliances of professionals that deliver stuff that he can't deliver in that multi-generational. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah.
His meeting rooms are full. No, mine is really full.
Yeah.